What up, Love Quest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our 5 p.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Word. Thank you for confirming your word with miracle signs and wonders. We thank you that our lives will be challenged but transformed at the same time. I thank you, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice, when leaving this place, will leave better than they came in.
Amen.
And we thank you for your power, Holy Spirit, moving up and down every row and every aisle.
Amen.
Thank you that the word that is being sown tonight is being sown into good ground. Good ground. And we thank you that your word will never return void, but it will produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return upon the sowing that is going into our hearts tonight. And we just put the enemy on notice tonight, and we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Absolutely. And we are a people of victory that fight from victory. We are not victims, but we are mighty. We are strong. We are overcomers. And we are more than conquerors. So no matter what comes our way, the enemy must go seven other ways when he leaves this place. Yell out, I'm victorious! I'm victorious! Look at your neighbor before you sit down and say, you're looking kind of cool right now. You're looking kind of cool right now. And look at your other neighbor, say, if you smile, you can look a little better than what you're looking right now. You can look a little bit better. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How you guys doing tonight? Amen. Can we get one more round of applause for our first-time attendees? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I like it. You was having fun. You was like, hey. I know it's awkward when people turn around and look at you, and if they're not looking at you and pointing, tell me, please, because that's what they're supposed to do. But it's awkward, but I also say that it's abnormal that a church would turn and give you, it's one person to greet. It's one thing that people greet you at the door, but when God pauses for a moment to recognize you as a guest in his house, it's a very special moment. There's people going through this world that haven't been hugged in years, that haven't been paid attention to it, that haven't been made feel special in years. We prayed for a gentleman the other day, and he was so pumped up, he said, no one ever prayed for me. How you grown and ain't never got prayed for? That's not his fault. That's our fault. But not in Love Quest. You come up in here, if you don't want to be loved, this is the wrong place to come. You should know that. The name is what? Love Quest. So you know we're going to be some mushy, COVID-19, socially appropriate people. Amen. You might not get a hug, but you're going to feel a hug. Amen. Somebody told me, I don't know if you're here or not, but if you are, okay, whatever. It's funny to me. But they weren't taking handshakes, but they were taking fist pumps. And I said, I carry the disease on my fist. How don't you want to shake my hand, but you want to hit the other side? So I just did it real awkward. I just did it like this. You don't want to shake my hand, I'm going to just do this. How you doing? Give you a knuckle shake one time. You guys ready for the word tonight? Amen. For those that have come to the first service, you enjoying yourself? Those that came to the second service, you enjoying yourself? Suska, you belong here. Pretty soon, Suska gonna be doing this, and we are like, we welcome. Amen. I love how God gives us one to sow the seed for our string section. Absolutely. Section. We just gonna have a bunch of people with chin straps, just amen, which means we gonna need more space. But we have a pit up there. If we gotta put you up there, we gonna put you up there. And then you was the first keyboard player. And then you sewed, and you keep sewing, and then Michael came. And then Michael sewing. We're going to double down. I'm expecting two more. So one, we're going to double down. So I'm expecting two more keyboard players real soon. Amen. You don't need time away from drumming because you need a break. You need to start, you stepping into your pastoral call. Right now, you're just a nice little exhibit over there. Exhibit A. Mr. Skinty getting his skinny Luther. Amen. Father, bless our time. Thank you for laughter. And thank you for the joy of the Lord in this place. So let's continue today in the power of in power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You see, you get thrown off. He was thrown off right there. My bad. It's all good. Messing with Michael. Just messing with Michael. He thought it was going one way, and he like, ooh, that's leaking Brewster right there. I don't know that one. All right. Like, hey, amen. I'm sorry. We love to laugh here, too. Proverbs 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and what? Gold. A good name is rather to... I see you. A good name. I'm just celebrating growth right now. Now I get to see what you see back there, and I don't got to keep turning here. Amen. Make some noise for the media team up there. Amen. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. It seems like for centuries and decades and for thousands of years, the Lord has had to remind mankind that your success and your worth in me is greater than your success and worth in man's eyes or in the world. Your name, a good name, a reputable name, a name that you can bank on, this person is going to be consistent in what they present. I can trust you with my life. Because you have proven to be what? True. Proven to be true, right? There's nothing like a brand that is inconsistent, right? When you can't trust it. You ever go to a restaurant and you order one thing one time? It is really good. And then you go back the next time and you order it again and it's not the same. Or you go to their chain and order the same thing and it's not consistent. Right? The church should be consistent no matter which church you visit. One area the church should be consistent, not in method, not in culture, but in power. I don't care what church you go to, you should encounter Jesus if we're representing the brand of Jesus right. And so a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We're in a culture with a great, 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 great identity crisis happening. And our identity is in wealth. It is in monetary possession. It is in status. It is in everything but Jesus. Jesus is a part of our life versus us being a part of Jesus' life. And that's the wrong way to think, but we can blame no one else but ourselves who are hungry and thirsty for belonging. The reason why you hunger and thirst for belonging, because you don't belong here. Nothing here will satisfy your soul. Why? Because you don't belong here. And the worst thing you could do is get comfortable here. That's why Jesus says, I didn't come to make you comfortable and cozy. I sent you the comforter so while you're uncomfortable, you can get a sense of comfort. But when you get comfortable with the world, Romans 12, 1 and 2 warns you against getting comfortable in the world. But we're so comfortable and we're looking for status that will help us be comfortable. Money makes us comfortable. Status, people affirming us makes us comfortable. Friends make us comfortable. Right? Certain things make us comfortable. I can't wait to go here because I'm going to be comfortable. I can't wait to go there. And you notice wherever you go, you still take your problems. Hawaii not going to fix your problems. You going to mess up Hawaii. Amen. You going to go deep sea. Dive in, you're going to want to snorkel to get away from all humanity, and you're going to take your fear in the water and mess up the rhythm of the sea. What is that? Under the sea. Eh? That's the problem with talented musicians. To be gathered in his name, when we hear two or three gathered in his name, I've just got a couple slides to catch us up, but I think it's very important. To be gathered in his name is to be united together in faith, in trust, and in confidence in the power of his name, the authority of his name, the image and his likeness. It is not to be gathered in the letters of his name, or I've heard of Jesus, and so the Lord should move. It means where two or three are gathered in agreement in the power of his name, in the character of his name, in the strength of his name, in the authority of his name, where two or three sons are gathered together, there's things can get cracking, things can change. If so, Jesus had to kick out a few people when the young girl was asleep, but they thought she was what? Dead. And he said, I need y'all to cry outside. Because you apparently don't know who's here. I only need people in the room that know who's here. And anybody that don't, you need to get up out of here. This is even the people that knew Jesus' mama and knew Jesus as a teenager. He said, I can't perform miracles here because y'all don't have a revelation of my name. You little Jesus, little carpenter boy. But that's why we can never be familiar with people here, because you might see Caleb and miss the mantle on Caleb. So you might see Caleb being goofy and you hear him saying, mwah, and you see him being the life of the party. But then when it comes time for him to be able to minister to you, then you just looking at Caleb. So he got a prophetic word for you. You can't receive it. Because Caleb, he's silly. God can't speak through silly. You know, yes, he can. If he can speak through a donkey, he for sure can speak through silly. Right? If he can make an axe head float to the top and return somebody's supply, he for sure can talk to. It don't matter what you think about somebody. You the one are missing out if you don't see the treasure that's on the inside. And what we've done is we've made Jesus our bailout plan. When he desires relationship and desires to live through us, relationship through us, power through us, think through us, touch through us, talk through us, love through us, joy through us, he is not your bailout plan. If he's your bailout plan, then how do you sell that to people who don't think they need to get bailed out of nothing? If that's how you present Jesus. Because a lot of people, they just don't think they need Jesus. Because we're selling Jesus as someone you need when you messed up. What if you don't think you messed up? There's a whole lot of messed up people don't think they messed up. So you like, you need Jesus. They like, for what? You messed up. I'm not messed up. I'm happy out here in the world. Because we're selling them as a rescue plan. We're selling him as a bailout plan. They see us praising him when everything is all good, but when we're going through something, we questioning him. They don't see him as a lifestyle. They don't see him as a reality every day in your life, a dependency. I just gotta be with Jesus. There's no greater name than the name of, say it loud, Jesus. One more time, that caught you off guard. There's no greater name than the name of what? Jesus. One more time, about three more people on this side need to speak a little bit louder. There's no greater name than the name of what? Jesus. Absolutely. And that name, and the power of that name, and the authority of that name, and the joy in that name, and the peace in that name, he conferred upon us. It's not just like a name. Like, it's not like his name up here, like Jesus so good. No, everything his name represents is in your life if you've received Jesus. Faith in his name, faith in his power. You might not feel joyous today, but his joy is available. So I'm not going to smile because I'm happy. I'm going to smile because he's happy. I'm going to smile because how he sees the situation. Your perspective don't matter. What's his perspective about the storm? The disciples was in the same storm Jesus was in, but his perspective was not the same as theirs. Your giants, how do Jesus see your giants? David saw Goliath how God saw Goliath. And God sent them a few lions and bears to battle so he could show him ahead of time what he thought about lions and bears and giants. So when David finally met a giant, he said, man, you done messed with the wrong one. You done messed, look, he said, you done messed with the Lord of hosts, his army. When you mess with me, you messing with Jesus. But when we see ourselves separate from Jesus, like he just our little plan over there. Right? It's like when you haven't needed your health insurance for a long time and then you finally need it, so you go look up in the packet what's available for you. Right, and that's how we do it. When we're really in trouble, then we start going to church, we start reading the Bible, trying to figure out what's in the health plan. John 14, peace I leave with you, peace I leave with you, peace I leave with you, I leave with you, I leave with you. Stop asking me for it. I left it. You can spend 30 minutes crying to Jesus for something that is in you. Lord, give me peace. Rain down, Lord, peace. He said, peace I leave with you. I left with you. I left you my peace. I left you my peace, and now I give and bequeath. I give and I bequeath. I give. You didn't deserve it. I gave it. I give it, and I bequeath and bequeath to you. Bequeath. Bequeath means to dispose of personal property, especially money, by last will. Number two, it means to hand down, pass on. It means to hand down and what? Pass on. Number three, it means to what? Commit and what? Entrust. Do you know everything that that Jesus has left to you, he's entrusted to you? Who are you that he trusts you with himself? He trusts you with his peace. You worth something. I don't know if you came in here knowing how much you're worth, but you're worth a whole lot. Right? You don't just put treasure anywhere. People have safe deposit boxes, right? You don't put a sippy cup in a safe deposit box. Right? If you go through all the trouble to have a safe deposit box or a treasure box somewhere, or you got a little stash under the house somewhere, you go through all that. It's what? Valuable. If Jesus went through all that he went through to hide himself in you, how much are you worth? 2 Corinthians 4 says there's a great treasure on the inside of you. You only put treasure in treasure boxes. Who are you to store treasure in? You're worried about if you ugly or not. You ugly and anointed. Amen. In Jesus' name. Lisa ain't ugly and lost. I'm ugly and found in Jesus' name. Lisa ain't ugly and blind. I'm ugly and I can now see. Better figure out what's important right now. I don't care if you got nine toes. You got nine anointed toes. these feet are blessed because I preach the good news in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, all I need is nine toes. Jesus will go after the one in Jesus' name. He'll go after the one. Let the Lord go after the one. Amen. And then number four, to pass on or leave for someone else by will. It's a will. You got to understand, it's a will. It's yours and can't nobody have it. The devil ain't on the will.
Yep.
Say lie. I'm going to let you hear that one again. The devil ain't on the wheel. So he don't have a right to your peace. He don't have a right to your joy. He does not have a right to your health. But if you want to be, if you want to just hand it over for a meal, Esau, if you want to just hand it over for some flesh, then you give him the right to mess with your stuff. But the devil does not have a right to your will. That's a word and a half. Tell your neighbor, he does not have a right to your stuff. He don't got a right to your stuff. Tell somebody else, he don't have a right. Streaming audience, he does not have a right to your stuff. Say, it's mine. As physical features of a child play as evidence of biological relations, so do miracles, signs, and wonders, and the fruit of the Spirit play as signs of sonship. Of sonship. You got your mama nose, or you got your daddy toes, or you got your grandma ears, or whatever it may be. It's a sign of biological relationship, and DNA creates that. DNA carries information into these cells that then literally, it's information. That's why they can look back and take a blood test and show, your blood cells show if you've been sick in a certain way or not. Your blood cells read that. That is mind-boggling. So then you come, you get Jesus who comes and has to shed his perfect blood. And that's why when he came to hell with his blood, hell couldn't hold him because the information didn't read sinner. He had a drop-off. But he also had a right to leave. Death could not hold you down. Why? Because it had no evidence. Your sin got him in, and his righteousness got him out. And therefore, his life lives in us. So it don't matter biologically who you are, but spiritually you are a son of the Most High. And through the DNA, the enemy knows. That's why you got to speak the word. Because the word became what? Flesh. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. And every time you speak the word, you plead the blood. And that's why you got to get your emotions out of your mouth, because that's connected to your biological system. But when you begin to speak the word, you are releasing the blood of Jesus into the atmosphere. And we know the blood never loses its what? Power. Preaching right now. Don't. I got five. No, I'm just playing. Leave me alone, man. Stop playing. His name. He gave us his name. So darkness recognizes us the same. Right? And so what you got to understand, you can go down the street and you can say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all you want to. But if you're not carrying the presence of Jesus and understand that his character, to walk in his name is to walk in his character. His name carries his presence. And so it is when you once begin to believe in his name, that's why he says, I have the mind of Christ. And you have the fruit of the Spirit. You see how this thing works. You might look physically different, but spiritually you can literally walk in this earth how Jesus did. Doesn't mean that your call was the same as Jesus, but the purpose is the same. Souls. It doesn't mean your mission, if you do not have to go and pick up a literal cross and get nailed to it. He's done that. You have to pick up your spiritual cross. You got to stop running from thorns in your side and running from confrontation and running from persecution and allowing the enemy and family and friends to silence your witness. But it takes a choice. Renew your mind to walk in the name of Jesus is to allow his person to live through you. That's why he says forgive 70 times 7. Of course you don't want to, but he does. So are you humble enough to let him forgive through you? So it's not about you forgiving Dylan in a sense of feeling it. It's letting the grace of the forgiver touch Dylan's life. And eventually, when you let forgiveness flow through you, healing from being hurt will follow. I don't know if I can ever forgive, because you feel something. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. Waiting for the feeling might not never go away. Amen. See you later, Tristan. Love you, sir. All right, buddy. Got to walk out when I was walking this way. Nah, see you later. Thanks for giving him a pound on the way out. That just slowed him up just a little bit. We working together, buddy. Amen. Gatekeepers back there. Gatekeepers. Where's Stephen go? Stephen, okay, amen. Because he was sleeping this morning. Right. Oh, you'll see the post in the morning. If y'all want to see the post in the morning, follow Love Quest International Church. You'll see Stephen sleeping. Sleeping. It's back there sleeping. This is the beautiful thing. His name has been tried, tested, and proven. His name has been tried, tested, and proven. So that's why when you go in a battle, you take the one that have overcome the battle. I know the battle is tough. I know it's a tough situation. But Jesus has already overcame it for you. You just got to walk it out. West side walk it out. East side walk it out. I'm telling you, we have fun. We love it. But you're getting the word, right? Amen. Your victory is in his name. Come on, your victory is in his name. Your healing is in his name. Woo! Your joy is in his name, in Jesus' name. Your peace is in his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Just say it one time. Jesus. Say Yeshua. Mashiach. Jesus. My Redeemer. We done messed around, called Jesus Jesus, trying to be funny. He ain't gonna answer to that. He ain't gonna answer to that. Jesus. I know it is. But his real name is Yeshua Mashiach. They didn't call him Jesus back then. We have to understand there's power in the name of Jesus. All the names of Jesus. All the names of God. We can't just call him God when he got a name. All right, my wife ain't just gonna, walk around and call me Terrence. That ain't working. Boo. No, don't even call me boo. Sweetie. Right? We give our kids names. Come here, little one. Skin. Tweet, tweet. TT, come here. Where you get these names from? Right? You're giving someone a name based on the image you see. We're not going to go there, right? We're not going to go there. But the point is that in every single name that our Savior has represents a quality, a characteristic, a personality. It's a part of him. So when you're carrying his name, you're not just carrying Jesus or Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach. In there is Wonderful Counselor, is Awesome Ruler, is the Lion of Judah, is the Lamb of God. Is Jehovah Jireh. Every name is in there. I don't got time tonight. It's like 206 names that we call him. We wouldn't call. See, this is what you got to understand. You think Wonderful Counselor is a characteristic. No, it's his name. Somebody ever call you flaky? You've ever called somebody flaky? Yeah, you have for sure. Dylan, don't flake. Look. But what you did, you called them flaky. It wasn't just a characteristic. You gave them a name, like TT. They flaky. And that's their name. Nicknames. It's a name. So Wonderful Counselor isn't a characteristic. It's his person. It's him. He is not a Wonderful Counselor. He is Wonderful Counselor. Your therapist may be a Wonderful Counselor, but Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Your therapist, your friend or somebody in some part of the country may be a king, but he is the king. There's power in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 45. I will march out in front of you and level every obstacle. I'm going to march out in front of you. And sometimes we be trying to slow God down. Like, where are we going? God, come here. Where are you going? Or where he at? Sometimes you think God ain't caught up to you when he's in front of you. He's marching out in front of you. And sometimes he don't need you marching behind him. He needs you to sit down and be quiet. Let him march. Say, march on, Lord. He is marching out in front of you because he is trying to set up some things for you. If you could just sit down and enter his rest and wait, worship, believe. He said, I will shatter the pieces of bronze door that can be shut on you. Everything he's called you to access, he will make sure you access. Say, access granted. Verse 3, I will give you hidden treasures. I will give you hidden treasures from dark. That's why, man, the pandemic is not bad news for the believer. He's saying there's good news in the dark. Out of this moment, out of these 4 months, if they keep it going for 6 months, there's treasures in this moment. There's revelation. There is so much in this moment in time. That's why this year for Love Quest 2020 is what? Eyes to see. It's so amazing that in December 31st, 2019, the Lord gave us 2020 word, eyes to see. A lot of churches, when we have our theme, is the year of the breakthrough. The year rolling down in abundance and pressing and shaking together and flowering. And it's just all about what we're getting. But the theme for us is, it's on us. I don't need a theme for what God's gonna do. I need to sometimes remind us of what we need to do to walk in what he's doing. And so we need eyes to see. And who would have knew 3 months later, one of the darkest times in a long time in this place, in this world. But when you have eyes to see, you will understand, I will give you hidden treasures from dark, concealed places. Concealed places. I will give you treasures out of concealed places and wealth waiting in secret sites. We're only pursuing what we can see. We're only pursuing what is tangible and easy to get to and what I could put a few hours in to get a few extra dollars. And God says there are seasons in your life where you're going to have to dig so that you recognize. And that's what praise and worship does. It pushes back darkness and pushes us further into the secret place. Waiting in secret sites so that you recognize me. For it is I, there go name, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. It's amazing how he gave a man a nation's name. He called Jacob Israel. If you're going to call me after a nation, you must be giving it to me. I mean, I don't want to be called Canada, but in the spirit realm, in Jesus' name, you ain't sent me here for a corner. He calls you by your name. God calls you by your name. And I promise you, if you listen close, God is not calling you failure. He's not calling you defeated. But don't you hear those words sometimes? If God's not calling you that, who's calling you that? And why are those names louder than who he says you are? And in these seasons, we have to listen closer and be attentive to what God is calling us in this moment. He says, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and of Israel, my chosen, I have called you by your name. As though your name has redemptive power to it. For the sake of, I called you this. I have surnamed you. Though you have not known me, while you was in the club, while you was bent over doing what you was doing, while you was cussing folk, while you was running, the Lord gave you a name that would guarantee your freedom. So God, might I challenge you, God has never called you failure. God has never called you loser. God has never called you insecure. No, when a pastor call that thing out, he's calling out a spirit. He's not calling out your name. God has never called you a name that identified your season. God has never called you by your biological name. He's never called you by your bio. He's never said, hey, Mr. Richmond, come here. He says, son, friend. He calls me friend. Right? He is not called. He is giving you a name, and he will not deter from what he called you, even when you don't want to be called it. You can live like a slave, but he still calls you servant, friend, son. See, you got, what name do you hear? I'm here to tell you, he has surnamed you. He has surnamed you. A surname is a hereditary name common to all members of a family. How does he make us one family? Because he gave us the same name. That's why sowing discord is an abomination. That's why division is an it's very bad. It's prideful. It is sick. It's what the enemy loves, because he pulls you away literally from your family. And then what he wants you to do is identify yourself with another family. And that's why staying away from the church is not a plan of God. It's counter God. It's anti-Christ. Antichrist isn't this big old monster you think about. Antichrist is a spirit. Anti-anointing. Anywhere the anointing is, when you find yourself not wanting to be there, that's a spirit of the Antichrist. When you don't want to gather with the saints where there's a greater anointing, accountability, anointing, surname, as distinct from a given name, a hereditary name common to all members of a family, as distinct from a given name. Surnames hold what? Power. Come on. Surnames hold what? Power and significance. They hold power and significance. The right surname, say the right surname, can give you access to places and people you wouldn't have otherwise. Man, I couldn't take no territory back with Terrence Richmond. I wouldn't know how to. What? I'm not a strategist without Jesus, without the Holy Ghost. That's not me. But because you put his name, you put your new man on, you walk in him, you give him your mind, you give the strategist access to the body he paid for, and you let him begin to strategize through you. You let him forgive through you, so it wouldn't otherwise. This is what we hold as believers. This is what we hold as who? Believers. But it doesn't stop there. There is powerful, but it is. This is powerful, but it is too shallow. We aren't called to just bring honor to his name, but we are literally his namesake, right? There's this separation. Lord, we bring you honor. Do you know how many people dishonor themselves and say they bring God honor? You can't dishonor yourself and give him honor. You are his surname. You are his temple. And you can't just let anybody abuse you and give him honor. You can't not guard your heart, guard your garden, and say you honor God. When you guard your heart, you guard his temple. We are literally his namesake. We have been given the name of Jesus. It is ours. So you wonder why there's warfare and persecution against your pursuit with the body, your pursuit for godliness. Because it want to keep you orphan. It is how God sees us, and it is how God identifies us. You're not a stepchild of God. God's not your stepfather. These are literal brothers and sisters in Christ, because we share the same blood. We share the same name. We share the same spirit. We share the same father. We share the same language. Sees us and identifies us pure and holy, coveted by the blood, our cloak of righteousness. Namesake. The purpose of a namesake is to keep the name alive. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. You ready for this? Oh, the purpose of a namesake, the purpose to pass something on, is to keep it alive, and not just keep the name alive, but everything the name means. You know, people born into wealth, they got that name. They got that name. That name ain't just a name without the wealth. That name is what it is because of what it's attached to. Namesake is to keep the name alive, to keep the memory alive, the attributes, the gifts, the talents, and the characteristics. You know, families that keep recipe books. My nana passed this one down to me. My Nina, my Tita, my Tata, my... Pass this spaghetti sauce on down. Ooh, I can't share this. This belonged to the family. There's restaurants with rich, rich culture. Been open for 100 years, pizza shops. And they've been making the same. They changed the method. They changed the marketing, but they kept the sauce. You know, the sauce transcends generations. We got that sauce. We got that sauce. We got that sauce, EJ. We got that sauce. The gifts and the characteristics. Many cultures believe that when a person in your family or community dies, they can pass on, or you can pass on their name onto a new life. And that child will inherit the personality. You've seen it. You've seen me just preaching, and then all of a sudden, the spirit that was in the spirit of Alma Hardiman, my grandmama, just jump on me all of a sudden, and I don't care what note I'm hitting. The spirit is on me, right? The spirit is on me. EJ trying to stir me up, man. He's trying to stir me up. That child will inherit the personality, the traits, the gifts. Now, we ain't not talking about voodoo and wicked stuff where we trying to talk to the dead and raise the dead up. No, they dead. Let them go. But the influence, the spirit, the impartation from when they lived in your life lives on. And characteristics of that person. Some believe that the spirit of the deceased person will inhabit this new body. Again, culture. This is some cultures. Just to let you know, this is not just a biblical thing. Rather, some cultures get it twisted or they take it too far. It's a reality in the spirit realm. Okay? The name of Jesus cannot die. The name of Jesus cannot die because it comes back to life with every new soul. Woo! Woo! That's why he can't kill the church. And that's why the enemy want to keep you stuck and not bold and not courageous, because he knows you will keep the name alive with every soul. And that means another lineage, another generation, another bloodline will pass on the name of Jesus. Why do you think he said, make disciples? We are here because the apostles did what they did. Abraham had to do what he do. And that's why you find in the book of Acts, they're always talking about in the name of Jesus. In him I live and have my being. He passes it on. How can a man go from killing Christians to now being filled with the Spirit of God? And now he's passing on. We're reading his scriptures. We're reading his letters. Why? He's passed. Man, you can't kill Jesus. He literally got up and he lives in us. Jesus cannot die. The name of Jesus cannot die because it comes back to life with every new soul. Healing and wholeness, righteousness, provision, miracles, signs, wonders, all that Christ did and greater is available to us because we are his what? Namesake. Man, that's why Psalm 23, David gets it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus had not been born yet, but he had a revelation of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then you go down to verse 3. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. He is invested in you. He's not trying to keep nothing from you. He lives in you. He is prosperity. Therefore, he wants you to prosper. Folks, that's anti-prosperity is anti-Christ, because they don't want you to look like what the word says you're supposed to look like. I get people twist things. I get people take advantage of things. But you can't tell me that my God want me walking around sick. He want me walking around broke and can't help nobody, let alone myself. He want me borrowing all the time. That's not my God's plan for me. I did not inherit poverty. I did not inherit sickness. I did not inherit defeat. I did not inherit that. Did not inherit dysfunctional relationships. I didn't inherit that. I didn't inherit that. Yeah. Though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. How's he with me? Because his name is his presence. It carries his presence. His presence carries his name. He is with me. As long as I got his name, I got him. As long as I got his blood, as long as I believe, he is my provider. He is with me everywhere I go. There's nothing you're going through he is not going through with you. And he's already gone through for you. Oh, my God. First Sammy. 17. First Sammy, look at First Sammy. This same guy who wrote Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd. This same guy, I wonder how he knows this. Well, we look back to his experience, to his testimony. Then said David to the Philistine, after the Philistine, like, you think I'm some kind of dog or something? You're going to come up at me with some sticks. See, David was able to turn down the armor of Saul because he knew who God was. And he knew it wasn't just some sticks. The sticks had his name on it. The sticks was being held in the hands of someone who had faith in the name of Jesus. In his, look what he said. He said, look, bro, you come to me with your 9'8" self. You done beat up everybody that it came your way. But every giant got its day. And he said, look, he already told him, my father, you know, I was in the back when nobody was watching. In my secret place, fighting. Nobody could help me. Bear. Arr. Took him out. And the only person I know, bro, see, that's why the Lord don't, he does not care about your whining. He needs you to go through some stuff by yourself so that your trust is in him, right? And so David was in the backfield by himself, and he was being prepared to face the giant for a nation, a stronghold to the nation, the Philistine. And he had been taunting them for days, and nobody would step up. Nobody. And might I admit to you that God is preparing you in this season to face a giant that your family is afraid to face, or friends or co-workers or Vancouver is afraid to face. You are about to come on the scene with an answer to somebody's giant. Amen. And then he says, in a javelin. You come to me in a sword, a spear, and a javelin. You got all of this. Bring it down. You have all of this. You think you all of that because you got that Ferrari. You think you all of that. And he says, but I come to you. Yeah, you see the stick. I see the name. You see the stick. I see the name. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you on behalf of heaven. So it's not that I want you knocked out, whatever you're, Goliath. It's not that I want you knocked out. It's just that heaven says it's your time to go. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. Have you ever wanted something out your life and it seemed like you just can't get rid of it? Maybe it's not time for the thorn to be gone. But when God says it's time, guess what? It's time. And it was a day that it was Goliath's time to go. So I'm not coming to you out of my emotions. I'm not even coming to you because you messing with my brothers. I'm coming to you just giving my father some hands and a stone. I don't have the power to knock you out, Goliath. I've come to this war knowing I can't beat you up. But I've come on behalf of the one that can. And I promise you, when you begin to believe that God doesn't want that for you, you will show up with a different boldness. Stop accepting stuff that God has not accepted for you. You settling. God is like, no, I want that thing gone, but you keep on trying to keep it here. God says it's got to go. Can you just agree with me so I can move the stronghold? The name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defiled. I love this, Bernadette. You didn't disrespect me. You just disrespected the Lord. That sounds like somebody that know who they are. Stop taking stuff so personal. It's not about you. It's who's in you. Stop taking every attack personal. Understand that it's what's on the inside of you why this commission has been given upon you. You've just stumbled up on a trial and a tribulation. You've just stumbled up on somebody's ignorance. You've just stumbled up on somebody's lack of ability to steward you. So you can't belittle yourself or lower your standards because they don't recognize who you are. And you can't apologize for who God called you to be. And the way to get somebody to raise their standard is not by you lowering yours. How will you ever know if they raised their standard if you lowered yours? I'm so grateful that God did not lower his standard for me to come to him. Here's another one, Nehemiah. Also, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me for the governors beyond the Euphrates River that they may let me pass, that they may give me access to Judah. You see this? And also give me a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest or park. Why? That he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the city wall and for the house that I shall occupy. And here we go. And the king, say the king. The king granted what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. The king gave him access because of what he saw and who was upon him. But I want you to see this practical thing. He needed the name and the signature and the letterhead of someone who had authority in order to get access in a region he wasn't supposed to be in. He needed a letter to get the provision to do what God called him to do. Jesus is the letter you need. It's not about your ability. It's about Jesus. Jesus, his word is the letter. It's all you need for access to what God has called you to. Are you taking Jesus to the war or your diploma? What you taking to the battlefield? Your diploma is as good as Saul's armor. In this season, none of that matters to God. If God wants to use it, great. But don't hold it up to God. Say, hey, God, you might need this one for us. God will use it. But God does not necessarily need it to get you where he's called you to be. Here's another one, Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord bless you. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And he, though a what? Was a successful and prosperous man. Wow. Though a slave, prosperous. There's something in how you handle what seems to be your not prosperous seasons, your failing seasons, your dark seasons, your poverty seasons, your land of not enough seasons. There's something about how you walk and talk and posture yourself while you in your pit season that will allow your answer to come get you out the pit. But when you understand, complaining attracts a certain type of help. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The presence of the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that this slave boy did to flourish. You might be a slave. You might be in a dark moment due to regulations in the world, due to losing your job, but you could still be prosperous and successful. Man, God can use you in any season. That's why he said, in all seasons, give thanks. But he also promises that in every season, you will produce fruit. Fresh fruit every month. Can I get a witness, man? His name carries his presence. John 20 says, through believing and cleaving to and trusting and relying upon him, you may have life. You may have life through him, through his name. What is in his name is your salvation. Your salvation is in his name. It is to your benefit to understand the power of his name and all that that means. Kenneth Hagin has a really cool book, practical too. It's just called, I believe it's The Power of the Name of Jesus, or In the Name of Jesus, or The Name of Jesus. Just look up Kenneth Hagin and say Name of Jesus. Forget what people think of Kenneth Hagin. Forget what Google says about Kenneth Hagin, people's opinions. The book that he wrote is Bible. Be mature enough to pull out the word of God and trust the spirit of God. It's a powerful book. Let me tell you, anytime God moves tremendously through any ministry, it will have persecution. You should be shaking a city so much that the news persecute your church. There should be so many healings breaking out that they say you need to have doctors there to validate the healings. God got your back. People want revival, but you gotta want what comes with it on the other side. A whole lot of persecution. Well, bring it on, because it's here and it's coming and it's growing. The tsunami is roaring. Salvation, soterion. He is the soterion, or soteria, defender. He's my defender. He is my defense. Or that which brings salvation. He is my defender. Say, he's my defender. What's in his name is deliverance. It's deliverance. What's in his name is prosperity. What's in his name is health and victory. Say, he's my healer. He is my victory. He is my deliverer. Yes, we've been saved and given power of attorney. Come on, JT. We're going to let you go in a minute. We're going to let you go in a minute. We're going to let you go in a minute. Look, he has saved us and given us power of attorney. You got to understand what this power of attorney is. You got to understand what this power of attorney is. It's the power of attorney, or letter of attorney. It is you have come by the authority of the other person. You've shown up for someone that has authority. You are not coming in your own authority, but because someone else authorized you to take these actions. He has authorized us to release his presence in this city. He has authorized us to lay hands on the sick and they shall be what? Healed. He has authorized us. We're here on his behalf. It's a written authorization to represent or act on another's behalf in private affairs, business, or some other legal matter. Oh, salvation is a legal matter. It is unjust that someone is being tortured out there on the corner. It's a legal matter. That's why it says on heaven, on earth, as it is in what? Heaven. If it's illegal in heaven, it has to be illegal in your life. That's why he called you the just. The person authorizing the other to act is the principal. The person authorizing the other, the person that authorized us, is the principal grantor or donor of the power. That's why you see the disciples, he laid hands on them and then sent them to cast out devils. Sent them out to heal the sick. He gave them power of attorney, same way the king gave Nehemiah the letter to get what he needed to rebuild the city. It's the same authority Jesus has given you to rebuild Vancouver. He's the one authorized to act is the agent. The one authorized to act is the agent. Or in some common law jurisdictions, the attorney in fact. When you come in someone's name, you come in his stead. You come instead of. So Jesus said, I must leave and you gonna go instead. I've done what I need to do. I've given the power. I've overcome the grave. I've overcome darkness. I've overcome the world. I'm gonna send you the same spirit that's in me. He'll live in you, and you're gonna go instead and finish the race. Who, me? Look at your neighbor. Who me? Who me? Yes, you are going instead. You. Your city will not be changed unless you go instead. You notice how we'll call down heaven, Lord, help my city. He said, I sent you instead. It's amazing. He lives in us. And he just says, I need you to be the feet. I need you to be the hands. I need you to be the mind. I need you to go instead, but I am with you. Oh. The person to whom you come is expected to react to you. You ready for this? Is you ready for this? The person who is expecting you is expected to react to you not on the basis of who you are, but as if the person who sent you was there himself. That's why the demon said, Jesus and Paul, I know, but who is you? You don't walk with him. You don't. I've watched you. I'm the one who helped you buy the liquor last night. You don't believe. I know your story. But when you walk in full of power, full of faith, it's as if Jesus walked in the room. It's as if Jesus walked into the store. It's as if Jesus walked into the job. It's as if Jesus walked on the block. And so y'all know you mean me whenever I see demons manifest around me. And they'll be like, hey, I've had them say, get out of here. We don't want you here. Yes. I know that it's time. I know what time it is. And it's not for you to say, come out of him in Jesus' name. No. It's not time. They already know you on the scene, so they've calmed down. What they're trying to do is intimidate you. They're trying to intimidate you because something has shifted. And the longer you stay on the block, the more they run the risk of having to go. We taking back territory. I don't know who you used to, princess. I don't know who you used to, Hastings. But there's a different type of people in the neighborhood now. It's a different type of person. This is a different day, a different group, a different believer, a different anointing. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. Say, I'm different. Yes, I'm different. Have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We know who he is. And they are to treat you as they would treat the one who authorized you to come. I would go pick up my wife from work, and she would just still have to, you know, you show up a little early because you get her benefits too. Right, even now, if we go visit, they'll let the kids come in the back and pour their own little soft serve ice cream. And why no other kids going back there?
Come on.
And because she's been so faithful, even to today, will show up and they'll give her a disc as she walked through the door, and they just love her and miss them some Julia. And because we with her, that's why you need to be with people who have a good name. Like you gotta understand, it ain't just about your access, it's about their access too, man. Woo! You gotta be careful who you link up with, because you gonna pick up what they got, man. And I'm telling you, we get that discount. And then if I go there by myself, guess what? They gonna treat me because I'm in covenant with her. So the same discount she gonna get. I don't gotta work there. But my partner works there. My covenant person works there. So I get the same discount she get. I get the same favor she get. And then guess what I gotta do? I gotta make sure I still walk as classy and have integrity like her. Why? Because I'm representing her. Can't just go up in there and just be all ghetto and picky. When we come to Chef bringing out stuff that we didn't order, he bringing out his experiments. I'm like, what's this? Hey. Yeah, I'm from Oakland, man. There's a little pomfret on the plate, little green stuff on the plate. It's good. Little chocolate square with some drizzles around it. With some kiwi reduction. I don't know if it's kiwi reduction, but I know what a reduction is. But man, no, I know what reduction is. I've just never heard of kiwi reduction. Normally it's like blueberry or something. But man, balsamic. Never had no balsamic growing up in my life. See, but I show up acting like I done been there. I see you dip, I dip, we dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. Okay, how you do that? We just, okay, we're gonna dip too. You put your napkin on your lap, I'm gonna put my napkin on my lap. Yeah, follow the leader. I follow the leader. I ain't got no questions. I just follow. They have to treat you. Because guess what? If I go back to Pastor Julia and say, Gregory was mean. Right. The understanding is, darkness has to respect you the same way they respect Jesus. That's why when they find someone who lets them punk you, they're like, oh, they don't even get who they are. Now instead of you getting access to freedom, you've given them access to bondage. It's like the crook who come to rob your house and find all the windows up and the door open. I don't gotta break in. You just gonna leave. You just, hey, come on in. You just help the crook out. So it's no difference. When you don't know who you are, you give the enemy free access to just play in your life, and just roll around and skate in your life, and you haven't picked up the words, you haven't come back with nothing. Any little sneeze you got, you can be declaring you're sick. You don't come against nothing. No, you have his authority. You have his authority. You have his authority. Say, there's power in the name of Jesus. Come on, say, there's power in the name of Jesus. Come on, a little louder, say, there's power in the name of Jesus. One more time, say, there's power in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give me one big old shout of joy. Not only the Lord is with you, the Lord is for you.
Amen.
He is for you. Say, he is for me.
He's for
Look at your neighbor. Say, he is for you.
He's for you.
He is for you. Okay. Tell your other neighbor, whether you like it or not, the Lord is for you.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.